Welcome to The Late Disciple, a ministry of Truth Seekers Fellowship. Well, this has been a great week of lessons, and on today's program, Tom Murray will continue answering the question, what kind of Messiah did the Old Testament reveal? Join us now as Tom discusses the crucifixion of the Messiah as prophesied hundreds of years before. Pay close attention to all the many details and just think of how God so thoroughly prophesied every last detail of the Messiah.
Well, welcome back to our study. Last time I left you in Psalm 22 with the description of the agony that the Messiah would suffer in Psalm 22, verses 12 to 18. And it's uncanny because it's almost verbatim for what actually happened when Jesus, in the gospel accounts, was on the cross. Now, I want to read verses 12 to 18 to you because we have time in this broadcast. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They open wide their mouth at me as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. Speaking about him hanging on the cross. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaves to my jaws. And thou dost lay me in the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and they stare at me. They divide my garments among themselves. And for my clothing they cast lots. But thou, O Lord, be not far off. Since these verses, 12 to 18, describe the suffering of the Messiah, let's look at some of the specific words. In verses 12 to 13, he says the Messiah is surrounded and he is being stared at by those who are observing. In verses 14 to 17, he describes his physical agony. First of all, I am poured out like water. Now, this emphasizes the excessive sweat that Jesus was producing, sweat that was pouring out of his body. He says, all of my bones are out of joint. After he was nailed to the cross on the ground, the cross would then have been raised to the vertical position and dropped into a deep slot in the ground. The actual shock of that cross main post dropping into this slot would have caused multiple dislocations of his joints. He said, my heart is like melted wax. Now that is a Hebrew phrase meaning a ruptured heart, and that was evidenced by the pouring out of the blood and the water when the spear of the Roman soldier pierced his side. He said, my strength is dried up like a potsherd or a small fragment of broken pottery. That is, his strength is totally gone. He says, my tongue cleaves to my jaws in verses 14 to 17. That is, his tongue cleaves to the roof of his mouth, emphasizing he has excessive thirst. After 6 hours on the cross, 3 of those hours in total darkness, Jesus finally said, I thirst. Now this meant more than just physical thirst, because during those 3 hours of intense darkness, Jesus suffered the outpouring of God's wrath. That is, the very pangs of hell itself. Now, Jesus had earlier spoken in his life in Luke 16 about a rich man who, after only a few moments in hell, said to Abraham, I thirst. Now, the fact that Jesus is saying these same words reflects the extreme suffering of the pain of hell which he experienced while he was hanging on the cross, particularly during that second 3 hours. He goes on to say, they pierced my hands and my feet. Now, the Hebrew word for piercing that is used here is not the same word as that used in Zechariah 12:10 when it said that they would look on him whom they pierced. The word in Zechariah means to thrust through, and that would be consistent with the Roman spear which pierced Jesus' side. But the word that's used here for pierce in Psalm 22 is the word which would be used, for example, of piercing an ear, and it would be consistent with the nailing of Jesus' hands and his feet to the cross. Then he says, I can count all my bones, meaning his physical bones were protruding out of his body. And then thirdly, in verse 18, he says, they divide my garments among them. So the Messiah's clothes are to be divided among his tormentors by the casting of lots. Now, once again, this too was literally fulfilled at Jesus' crucifixion in Matthew chapter 27, verse 35, and later also in Mark 15:24, Luke 23:34, and John 19:23 and 24. All of the above must totally refer to the Messiah, since clearly none of these things ever happened to David himself. Then in verses 19 to 21 of Psalm 22, we have the Messiah's prayer for help. Let me read that to you. It says this, But thou, O Lord, be not far off, O thou my help. Hasten to my assistance. Deliver my soul from the sword, my only life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, and from the horns of the wild oxen thou dost answer me. Now again we have a cry for help from the Messiah while he's hanging on the cross. Now, that brings us then to Psalm 22, verses 22 to 31, and that is the exaltation of the Messiah that I told you about. I will tell of thy name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will praise thee. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him, and stand in awe of him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him for help, he heard. From thee comes my praise in the great assembly. I shall pay my vows before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth will eat and worship, and all those who go down to the dust will bow before him, even he who cannot keep his soul alive. Posterity will serve him. It will be told of the Lord to the coming generation. And they will come and will declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has performed it. Now, with his suffering complete, in these verses I've just read, the Messiah begins his exaltation. In verse 22, he says the Messiah will praise God in the midst of the assembly. But how will he do that? If he died in verses 1 to 21, how is it possible for the Messiah to possibly exalt and praise God? Well, clearly, this could only be possible if the Messiah was resurrected. And the rest of the psalm goes on to describe what happens after the Messiah is resurrected, culminating in his eventual second coming and the establishment of his kingdom. Now, in verse 16 of Psalm 22, some people like to translate that verse like a lion, my hands and my feet, instead of they pierced my hands and my feet. But that former interpretation is based on the pointing of the Masoretic text, and the latter is based on the Septuagint, or the Greek translation of the Hebrew, which preceded the Masoretic text by over 1,000 years. So we should take the Septuagint rendering of verse 16 instead of the Masoretic rendering of that text. So while it is true that the writer uses several animal motifs in the context, the psalmist only uses animalistic terms, the lion, the wolf, whatever, to describe his enemies and not to describe himself. So both the context and the antiquity of Hebrew behind the Septuagint favor the rendering of they pierced my hands and my feet. So what can we learn from Psalm 22? Well, in the extreme agony, the Messiah would cry out for God's help. Then we learn that the Messiah would be a despised and a rejected individual. And in the agony of death, the Messiah would be stared at and would be mocked, and the Messiah's bones would be pulled out of joint, that the Messiah's heart would rupture, that the Messiah would suffer an extreme degree of thirst, that the Messiah's hands and feet would be pierced, and that the Messiah's clothing would be divided by the casting of lots, and that at the very point of death, the Messiah's trust would still be in the Father, that is, his Father and God. That's why he said, the last thing Jesus said was, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And then lastly, the only way the Messiah could exalt the Father for his faithfulness and deliverance in the assembly of the living would be if the Messiah were actually resurrected from the dead. And so Messiah would be resurrected from the dead according to Psalm 22. Now what I hope that you're getting from these particular studies is that while we do not have hundreds and hundreds of prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah the first time, we have an overwhelming preponderance of prophecies and statements both in the law and in the prophets and in the writings, an overwhelming amount of information. And when we bring that information forward and we consummate it all into one big summary picture, there is no one who could possibly have fulfilled all this other than Jesus of Nazareth. It would be literally impossible for anyone to remember all these details and bring all of this to pass. The Messiah couldn't even determine that he would be virgin born. So I'll have to see in our next broadcast to finish this study.
Thanks, Tom. It's amazing how these ancient teachings are so relevant today. These lessons should help you get a better understanding and perspective on all that you see happening in Israel as we turn on the TV news. Briefly, let me remind you now to visit our new website at www.milktomeat.org. If you have any questions or want to order a tape of the program, call us at 901-685-3385. Outside Memphis, call toll-free 866-685-3385. And we'll see you next time right here for The Lay Disciple.